Great to be together again as we travel. It just reinforced the joy it is to be together in person. How about that? Throughout the country, I say throughout where we were, there, even the small areas we went to, there's a variety of ways churches have addressed the issue that we've been dealing with. And I'll gladly and boldly say I'm getting together works. Getting together works. So it's good to see everyone here and look forward continuing to gather together with saints. This lesson is kind of weird for me. This is another one of those, it followed a train of thought, but then it derailed. Does that make sense? Started out talking about worship. We went through those lessons. We talked about how we worship God and who we worship and worshiping in spirit and truth in John chapter 4. And which is my next slide, so don't get kids, don't worry, we're going to go back a second here, so don't get into a big hurry. But we talked in John chapter 4 about true worshipers, that God seeks those, and worship according to truth. And even in my own mind, I'm thinking, well, you read James chapter 1, which, read with me here, it talks about true religion. Well, there's a kind of a common theme there, but there's a little bit different theme. And so today I want to take, in the context of true worship, but not. So we're going to derail that thought. This is not true worship. This is true religion. And I think as we go through this lesson, we're going to see how that terminology is more appropriate, I think. That's one of the cases I want to make. And then from this, I want to learn what true religion is and what James taught here. And so in James chapter 1, as far as the lesson goes, I guess I want to say as well, this book was written to Jews, very likely and possibly and probably to the Jews before Gentiles were even accepted in the kingdom. And I say that because as we study our text today, it's going to come out, the correlations to the Jews of Jesus's interaction are some parallels here. And to make that point, I guess this is a really high level. So, but in James 1 verse 1, James says, to the 12 tribes that are scattered abroad. So he's talking about the Jews, I believe, that are scattered abroad. And another reference that indicates this is probably the Jews and not just Christians in general. Not saying it don't apply to Christians in general, but specifically the Jews, is verse 18 of the same chapter. Of his own will he beget us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits. Who were the first? The Jews. The Jews were the first. And again, in chapter 2, in verse 2. Now, so if you got the King James, it reads, for there comes to your assembly a man with a gold ring. Now, that word is actually to your synagogue. And just like, just stay with me here. We talked about church being a call out or an assembly. Synagogue had a similar meaning. So that is to the, could be read as, there comes one unto your synagogue. So this could be very well, and it's believed to be the case, a letter written to the Jews who were Christians, who were still meeting in synagogues with the other Jews. That would also probably be appropriately classified the Judaizing teachers. Okay, but let's read now, starting in verse 18, and we're just going to read through the end of the chapter, but there's some correlations as we study this that we're going to bring in at the end here. But James chapter 1, verse 18 through 27, and the topic is pure and genuine religion. And we see the correlation there with, I can't remember it now, true worship and spirit and truth. We see a very close correlation there, right? So James chapter 1, starting in verse 18. Of his own will beget he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Therefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay apart all filthiness or dirt and abundant bad. King James says superfluity of naughtiness, and that's that word in my language, English language, doesn't mean much, but abundant badness. But receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves.
For any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholds himself and goes his way and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. But whosoever looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. And if any man among you seem to be religious and bridles not his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. When I talk about my thoughts and concepts as I study this getting derailed, it's also difficult for me as I've looked at this passage to reconcile or to pick out a continuation of thought. And I've come down to looking at this as it's almost like a matching. Okay, so as we read through this and study this lesson, notice what is said here, some of the matching ideas. In verse 19, be swift to hear. In verse 21, receive with meekness the engrafted word. Listen, hearers. In verse 22, not hearers only. So we see some matching thoughts there. We see the thought and the idea being brought out here of dirt and abundant badness. He ends verse 27, keep oneself unspotted from the world. Some matching ideas. And notice also, because this will come out in lesson, verse 27, caring for the fatherless or the orphans and the widows. But what did they do in chapter 2? They looked at the rich. They looked down on the widows and the orphans. They didn't care for them, but they had the rich that they looked up to, gave them great setting. And if you think, what happens later in chapter 2? Some more matching here. Don't be hearers only, but doers. Don't have faith only, but be a doer. There's a lot of matching things in this text here, and so my analytical mind, I want to go through this as point by point by point, and James, I'm not sure, does that so much. So let's look at this. We have these contrasts, or opposites, or matching. Maybe a matching is a better word here. So we're talking about doing versus hearing. Be quick to hear, but slow to wrath and slow to speak. Being unspotted versus the dirty and abundant badness. Ministering to the rich and ignoring the destitute. Faith with works, faith without works. We see some matching things going on in this text. It's really, to me, insightful, helps piece all these things together, but a great passage for us. And that basically, and we didn't read all of chapter 2, it may be familiar with you as we've studied in previous studies. But so let's look at this. Back to where I started as I derailed the topic, I guess, in some ways. What is this religion we're talking about here? What is this pure religion that it talks about? Pure and genuine religion. And this word is not of true worship and true worshipers. It's actually more of the ceremonial aspects, the going through the motions. So he does qualify that, though. And so it's the physical acts, which is basically commentators, the ceremonial observance is an act. It doesn't have anything to do with the heart, which is what Jesus focused on in John 4. The ceremonial religion is what's being referenced here. But notice, it's not just the act of doing it. The topic is actually righteous living, isn't it? It's not the pure ceremonial aspect. It's not the going through the motion. And certainly Jesus condemned that aspect of it. But this word at its root is that, just righteous living. So pure and genuine righteous living is the topic here. Pure and genuine righteous living. And that was what we just looked at in that list there, wasn't it? And I think, guys, this was not on your paper, was it? This slide here I don't think was there. Pure and genuine righteous living is these things. Of chapter 1, verse 18 through chapter 2, verse 26. All of those things. The matching points there. And so, there we have the definition of what that word religion means. There, it's used a couple of times. I'm sorry. It's used a couple of times there, that word religion, and mainly there in that passage, in verse 27 and 26. If any man among you seem to be ceremonially religious, if any man seems to be righteous, okay? And then just verse 27, pure religion, pure righteous living would be appropriate as an insert into that or a translation of that word. So let's take a look. The warning for the hearer only. The warning for the hearer only. So as we go back and look at this passage, starting in verse 19, let every man, the hearer only, let every man be swift to hear, but slow to speak and slow to wrath. There's the opposite of hearing, is being slow, swift to hear, but slow to speak and slow to wrath. And at times, I think we can admit, those things can get in the way of us listening, can't they? We're just talking this morning about evangelism, and do we wait and listen to hear people's case, or hear where they're at, listen to what they're saying, or are we swift to speak? And so we see here, be swift to hear, but be slow to speak, slow to wrath. Okay, and notice, and then it takes a little excerpt there, verse 20 about wrath. Then it continues on in verse 22. Don't be doers only of the word. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. A hearer only, the one who only hears himself is classified here as the one who is deceived. And so he is verse 23, the one who hears only is likened to a man beholds his face. In other words, he looks in a mirror. He sees himself in verse 24 and he goes his way and forgets what he was. Forgets all about what he was. I get that all the time when I cut my own hair. I look in the mirror and I just go, okay, I just got to go and I grow back out. It'll be okay. Hair grows. Maybe you've tried that before, cut your own hair. I have done and not done well necessarily. I hear. Most of the time it's on the back where I can't see, so I guess I can't lay claim to that. But a man who is a forgetful hearer is just like the one who looks in the mirror and says, yeah, but then he forgets. And it says he's deceived. And then continued on. He looks in the mirror. That's the example given. He gives an example of a forgetful hearer. You look in the mirror and you forget. Now, we can think of this a lot of different ways. The analogy indicates he saw what he was, that this person saw what he was like, and he just basically ignored it, if you will. He saw what he was, but said, he was deceived, is what it calls it. And we see that in Scripture. We are instructed and given some insight into the error that can come of hearing only, because it happens and happens a lot in Scripture. And if you think about I'm not going there yet. We'll get there. The audience being the Jews. But look in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. They're being a forgetful hearer in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. That could qualify here in 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 8 through 12. So verse 9 talks about signs and lying wonder, power signs and lying wonders. And then verse 10, the man of sin here in verse 10, it comes with all deceivableness of unrighteousness. Because in them that perish, because they receive not a love for the truth that they might be saved. So one thing about hearing only is having a love for the truth, for having a love for that word that I want to know. I want to know what is right. So we have to have that love. This person who looks in the mirror goes on by his way. He didn't care about what he looks like. We were instructed to care, and we can be deceived if we go by unrighteousness and not having a love for the truth. And also in 2 Peter. 2 Peter is talking about the judgments of God and how people will ignore those. Yeah, I know God did this, and I believe God did that, but I'm going to live my life like I want to. I'm not concerned about the judgment of God. And that's what 2 Peter was about, that those who ignore previous judgments. This is God. God will and can judge. And so one who looks in the mirror says, yeah, I know God will judge, but I'll go on about my own life. That's a forgetful hearer. He looks in the mirror and forgets what he was. The heart of heart. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus begins speaking about the parable of the soils, and the disciples ask Jesus, why do you speak to them in parables? Why do you speak? And it ties right into hearing and listening and doing, just like James does here. And this is why there's some great parallels to the Jew of the very first converts. These are the exact people that Jesus was talking to in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 10 through 13 in particular. The disciples come to Jesus, it says, and says, why do you speak to them in parables? The disciples come, and he just gave the parable of sower, and so Jesus gives his answer. He answered, said unto them, because it's given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because, here's the tie-in, seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, neither do they understand. Is that not exactly what James said? That is it. I mean, hearers only. They hear, but they don't understand. And then verse 14 is actually fulfillment of prophecy. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, by hearing you shall hear and not understand, and seeing you shall see and not perceive. This people is heart waxed, or waxed gross, is hard heart. In their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and be converted, and I should heal them. And he says, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. In other accounts of this, Luke and Mark record, take heed how you hear. That's what James is saying. James is saying, take heed how you hear. The warning for the hearer only, who goes on about without and forgetting what manner of man he was. Contrast or matched up with that, the doer of the work. Doer of the work in verse 22 through 25. This one continues in the word. Now I'm turning my Bible back over to James. You give me a minute to catch back up. James chapter 1, the doer of the work is said there. The doer of the work. So looking there, in verse 25, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, be not that forgetful here, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. The doer of the work. And notice it also says he is blessed. And we see that tie-in in James chapter 2. Once again, this is how I'm trying to reconcile as I study James in an analytical way, the point to point to point to point to point. It seems like there's matching being done here. This is exactly the same point he makes in James chapter 2. Faith without works is dead. Be a doer. Abraham was a man of faith. He did. Rahab was a woman of faith, and she did. Faith without works is dead. So be a doer of the work. And also in James 4:17, another point, the same point James makes a different way. Therefore, him that knows to do good and does not do it, to him that has sinned. Be a doer. James 4:17. To him that knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. And then the results. The doer of the word, the doer of the work in particular, James 5:19 and 20. The doer, notice in James 5:19, brethren, if any man of you, I'm sorry, boy, I guess I'm a little tongue-tied. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and convert him, notice, let him know that he which converts a sinner from the error of his truth shall save a soul from death and hide a multitude of sins. Save a soul from death and hide a multitude of sin. That's the doer of the word. That's the results of one who is a doer. Well, what else? What does he do? Not just the word. In our passage here in James, our reading, there are some things given that he is to do. This one, this Christian, this one who wants to be a doer, who desires to serve God, what does he do? Well, he gives a couple examples. He says he controls his tongue. In verse 26, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridles not his tongue, but deceives his own heart. When I read that, my matching takes me back up to verse 19. How do you manage your tongue? Be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Verse 19. Verse 26, bridle your tongue. Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. That's how. So we're talking about an uncontrolled tongue, and we talk about this one with an uncontrolled tongue is got vain religion. His religion, his ceremonial worship is of no good because he does not control his tongue. Is the way that is said. If any man among you seems to be ceremonial religious, seems to be righteous, and bridles not his tongue, he deceives his own heart, and his man religion is vain. So he see he deceives his heart. So be a good hearer of the word, James 1 in verse 19. Be a good hearer. Control your tongue in that context of the hearer versus doer. Be a good hearer. Be swift to hear, but slow to speak and slow to wrath. And it continues on there. Receive with meekness the engrafted word. And so be a good hearer in controlling your tongue. Be slow to speak, but swift to hear. So apply things to yourself. Receive with meekness the engrafted word. We're slow to speak. We're not quick to defend ourselves. We're not quick to prove ourselves right. Slow to speak. Because we want to receive with meekness that engrafted word. Don't just justify ourselves. Slow to hear and slow to speak. And don't lash out in anger. That's what the Jews did. This is the Jews of the New Testament of Jesus' day. That's how they responded. Thought I had a slide here. If we look back at Matthew 13, they didn't see. They didn't understand. Jesus was eating with the sinners, he had selected Matthew as an apostle. They said, "Why do you eat with sinners?" Jesus says, "Those that are whole." Who were those that were whole? Pharisees. They justify themselves. That don't apply to the Pharisees. That don't apply to me. I'm righteous. I'm a Pharisee. I'm in the Jewish religion. You look at Paul's resume of how he was righteous and all that he'd done. They justify themselves. It was those who realized that they were sick, need a physician. It was not the Jew. And, of course, we see how the Jews responded to Jesus. And as we go through Acts, we see how the Jews responded to other apostles, including Paul in particular, recent studies, how they lashed out at Paul. Also, true religion helps the destitute. True religion helps the destitute. I'm using the word destitute as a general term. We realize there's specifics mentioned here, but I think we could use a general term as appropriate. And so one of the things we talk about in verse 27, pure religion, pure righteous behavior, and undefiled, so pure and genuine righteous behavior before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. Pure and genuine religion, which is where our title comes from here, pure and genuine righteous behavior, ceremonial acts, but righteous behavior is pure and undefiled, or pure and genuine. Visit the fatherless. What does it mean to visit? And that's appropriate to look at the word, understand what that means, because if I'm visiting, I'm going to sit down and listen to them and talk, right? That's really not what this refers to. To look up on or look after, to inspect, examine with the eye, to go see. Even a habit of going to see, it's an active thing. So if the idea is not just to say, "Oh, yeah, you're having difficult times," but it's to see after those things and to look after those things. And who? In particular, it mentions the fatherless and the widows. I think we could really understand from other scriptures, we expand that to the destitute in general. And we remember, to the early Jew and to the Jew of the New Testament writings, these were people who were punished by God. Even the widow and the fatherless, remember the blind man of John 9? He's blind. Who sinned, his mother or him? He was being punished. And they looked at the poor and destitute as being punished by God. And we see that they was prejudiced towards the wealthy. Let's give the wealthy this high fee. They ministered to the wealthy, but they didn't minister to the poor. The widows were neglected. The orphans were overlooked. Pure ceremonial, pure and genuine righteousness, righteous behavior, is to see after them. If we see that kind of a contrast there, the way the Jews behave towards the poor, the destitute, versus how they behave towards the rich. We see this in James chapter 2. James chapter 2, verse 1, "My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. If there come one to your assembly, a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come also a poor man in vile raiment, you have respect to him that wears the gay clothing, and say to him, sit thou here in a good place. And you say to the poor, stand thou here or sit here under my footstool." Verse 27 to me is a contrast that the Jews, in the Jews' life, they didn't look after the fatherless and widows, but they looked great, or they looked high upon and looked up to those who were rich, those who had great, good apparel and had rings and looked to be rich. I think, and as I study this, it kind of fits to me as we understand that audience. And chapter 2 is a continuation of the issue that he's addressing about pure religion. Care for the fatherless, care for the widows. You care for the rich. And we see also Jesus taught this in the parable in Matthew 25, the sheep and the goats. The parable was before that. This is about doing good, in particular to Jesus. I got to turn to it. I'm sorry. So if you want to turn over there as well, Matthew 25. I remember it, but I'm only going to slaughter it worse, trying to go off of memory. So Matthew 25 and verse 33, well, following. So he answers in verse 34. Let's start there. "Then the king said unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, you gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, you clothed me. I was sick, you visited me." There's that word visit again. "I was in prison, you came unto me." And that's to the righteous. And so benevolent attitude of the godly. So and that's one of the attitudes that they should have had, but they struggled with. The Jews struggled with that. And so they look after, it means to see to their needs. They see to their needs, alleviate their affliction, even actively pursue. It's not that we wait for someone to come tell us if there's something wrong. Part of this is say you actively look after these things. You don't just wait and for someone to come tell you they need. You actively pursue these things, the ideas involved there. And then it comes up because as we look at this, often it is made a work of the church to take care of these things, in particular the benevolence towards widows and orphans. And certainly there is a place for those things. In particular, we're given and understand the limited benevolence as Paul taught Timothy about the church in 1 Timothy chapter 5. We understand limited benevolence, a little bit about that. We've talked about it. We studied about it. But there is also an idea about delegating responsibilities. We have that responsibility, and sometimes in our own lives today, think about it, we do tend to delegate responsibility. We delegate the training of our children. I think everyone was probably sent to a public school of some sort. We delegate the training of our children to some ways. We delegate evangelism, delegate our faith. Can we do those things? No, these are instructions for us as individuals. We help. The pure and genuine righteous behavior is to help those in need, to see to their needs. Notice another point, verse 27, as he closes out the chapter's added by men too, right? Keep himself unspotted from the world. Remain unspotted. Remain unspotted. They were cleansed. They were Christians. They had been converted. They had been baptized. They had their sins washed away. What do? Remain that way. You know, that's one of the things I think we might overlook in our own studies of the New Testament. As we look at all the epistles from Romans on was written to Christians. And they talk about salvation in those passages. They talk about baptism. And the writers of those books were reminded them, you have been cleansed. James is saying, you've been cleansed. Remain unspotted. Remember your salvation. Remember you were baptized. And it goes back up to verse 21. Lay aside the filth and abundant badness. Remain clean. Remain pure. You've been baptized. You've been cleansed. Romans 6, you got a new life.
Ephesians 4 and Colossians 2, put off the old body by the circumcision of Christ, the washing of regeneration. You've been cleansed. Remain clean. A very common theme to the Christians, wasn't it? Remain clean. Remain unspotted. And the new creature of 2 Corinthians 5, 1 Peter 1, 21, purifying our souls, being born again. That's just some very, very brief summaries of those passages there. All these written to Christians, written to churches. Don't forget your baptism. Don't forget you've been washed. You've been cleansed. You've been regenerated. You have a new life. You've been born again. Remain that way. Remain that way. Put away the filthiness. Put away the abundant badness. Those are real general terms. You can throw anything in those categories there. But remain unspotted from the world. That is righteous living. Faith without works is dead, right? James chapter 2. He keeps repeating these points. So in summary, I hope we get from this as we study this passage. Let's remember, the warning here is for one of the warnings for the hearers only. The ones who look in the mirror and say, for whatever reason, just goes on about their life. James warns them because that's what the Pharisees did. The Pharisee says, oh, I don't need a physician, I'm whole. And we looked at those examples there of ones who were hearers only. But be a doer. Don't just have faith. Be a doer of the word. By being a doer of the word, you're a good hearer. You help the destitute, and you remain unspotted. And it'll leave us with the results in our lives. When we are saved, when we are have our sins forgiven, we hide a multitude of sins. There in James chapter 5, verse 19 and 20. When we are converted, when we are baptized, a multitude of sins are covered by the blood of Jesus, never to be remembered again. And so I want to leave this thought with us as we talk about and put the context of this right into place, that being to the Jews scattered about, that they received the word with meekness. They were and not don't be hearers only. So this is kind of another outline. To remain spotless, stay away from the dirt and the abundant badness. Visit the fatherless. Don't be prejudiced towards the rich, which is what they did. Would you be in that spotless condition? Do you want to be in that spotless condition? If you have not been baptized, you have spot on your life. And you can be baptized and have that washed away to begin a life, like James says, to continue in these things. That we continue in these words. And we receive that word with meekness like they did in Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost. Just obey Jesus. That's all we have to do is obey Jesus. Confess him, that he is our Lord and Savior. You have your sins washed away. If you begin that life and you stumbled and there's something that you wish to have the prayers of church, we always offer a time as well for you to come and make that known. Have your sins covered. Have your sins washed away. Have your sins blotted out. Have your sins removed. That's what's offered to us by our Savior. Would you do that in obedience to our gospel's call today? Won't you come while we stand and while we sing?